thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Jesus, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth.
Father in heaven, we are gathered to worship you, our awesome God. You are greater than our comprehension, greater than what we can imagine, beyond description. And yet, through Jesus, we know the intimacy of your vast love. May his light within us shine into our worship today. Not only today, but every day. We are here today with thanksgiving and praise, knowing that you are Almighty God, and we placed our lives anew into your hands this Sabbath day. We are grateful for this Sabbath day, this time of rest. We ask that our vision be enlarged. We ask that you instill in us hope in place of despair. We ask for your peace when turmoil threatens. And we ask that you enable us to behold the world as you created it to be, as you created us to be. And may your love overwhelm our lives, our families, our brethren, and those who cross our paths. May they see your love in us. May your Holy Spirit surround and indwell this congregation. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us these words to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I know last week I had a full page and a half of verses, an entire chapter. This day's message is something that's been on my mind for a while. The message is entitled, Where Did You Get Your Faith? First, I'd like to say that we are fortunate to live in a country where there is separation between church and state. This is one of the fundamental tenets of the Baptist denominations in general, separation of church and state. The situation is vastly different in theocratic countries, where religion rules the lives of the people. In theocratically governed countries, violence is often used to govern the people. All you need to do is look at what's going on in Afghanistan, look at the countries in northern Africa, where the Muslims routinely massacre Christians. It's hard for me to understand why any person would follow an intolerant religion that is violent towards someone who disagrees. On the other hand, in our country, we have a bewildering array of different faiths. We live in a pluralistic society. Pluralism is a conviction that various religions ethnic, and political groups should be allowed to thrive in a single society. That certainly is the way of life in the United States. The word of choice is choice. And what are some of the underlying reasons for choosing a particular faith? Well, to start with, we probably need to look at the ideology of tolerance. These days, tolerance is the politically correct approach to religion, unless, of course, you mention the name Jesus. That's not allowed in the public arena. And that is the truth. Tolerance of different religions has driven many people into the New Age movement. It's often called the relativistic approach to religion. It teaches that religious truth is merely relative to what works for you. New Age belief tries to carve up the religious pie in a way that allows everyone to enjoy their own slice of religion. And since everyone gets to enjoy their own slice of the religious pie, then everyone should get along. This approach to religion, for me, is truly baffling. It really is. I don't get it. I think that's partially because of my engineering background. But to say that everybody's beliefs are true, in my way of thinking, just lacks common sense. For instance, have you ever listened to an atheist debate a Christian? Right? That always is an interesting event because one view or the other must be incorrect. God can't exist and not exist at the same time. Add a Hindu to the debate who believes in Brahman, the material, efficient, formal, and final cause of all that exists, a single binding metaphysical concept behind the universal diversity. Everything is just part of the mind of the pantheistic one who we can't know and who can't know us. I copied that off of Wikipedia last night. I have no idea what it means. Then throw in a Muslim and a practitioner of Christian Science, and it all becomes mind-boggling, especially when the New Age proponent tells us that everyone is correct. All we must do is have a multi-truth understanding. Are you kidding me? That's absurd. Everybody can't be correct. These are mind games. It's beyond me how anyone can adopt a view that everyone's spiritual view is correct. Someone must be willing to say something that is either true or not true. Faith is not based upon someone's own private reality. Faith is based upon the way things really are. I unabashedly take a side on this subject. Truth is what actually exists. And somebody's positive feeling doesn't make a particular interpretation correct. So I have a good example. If I come home late at night, disheveled, with the smell of alcohol on my breath, my wife will want to know the truth. The correct answer is yes, Laura. You will want to know the truth. She won't be fooled by any clever lies that I might tell her, because truth is one way. Truth is reality. Truth is what it is. What's real already exists. And if you're honest with yourself, you can really believe, you really can't believe that all religions are true. Do you know that there is a Jedi religion? That's right. When George Lucas made his Star Wars movies, he inadvertently started a new religion called Jediism. It's a blend of Taoism and Buddhism, yes, that incorporates elements of medieval chivalry. You know, they like the swinging swords. Adherents to Jediism believe that the Force actually exists. Another religious group is called the Aetherius Society. Just go online, Google the Aetherius Society. This is a religion, a UFO religion, unidentified flying object religion, founded in 1954 by a guy named George King. This group aims to combine alien wisdom with yoga to generate powerful energy that will help humanity. The Aetherius Society's motive is to prevent the destruction of our planet by building good relations with aliens. They take some of their principles from Christianity, some from Buddhism, some from Hinduism, and they believe that Jesus, Buddha, and Krishna were, in fact, aliens who worked for the betterment of humanity. The list of religions is extensive. And generally, adherents of a particular religion believe they found the true way, and anyone who disagrees with them is wrong. So all this talk simply gets me to a starting point. The starting point of faith for me is to search for what's real. Real. The Hebrew scripture from Zechariah chapter 8, verses 16 and 19, well, this is a good starting point. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true. Make for peace. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. Primarily, love, truth, and peace. Religion, for most people, is like getting a new guitar. Yep. The correct guitar should feel comfortable in your hands when it's played. It needs to sound good. The wood should resonate a smooth, sweet sound. The electric pickup should be placed to allow for the best natural sound. You need to do some research when it comes to choosing a guitar. But the truth is that most houses have a guitar squirreled away in a closet. Nobody plays it. It's just there. And often, the next of kin inherits the guitar from the one who first tried to play it. That's the way religion often is. Religion is often handed down from one generation to the next. Most folk get the religion their parents gave them. It's handed down. But just because your parents did something or believed something, does that make it right? In my grandfather's era, cigarette smoking was considered fashionable. It was a way to fit in. And cigarettes weren't expensive. But a lot of people got cancer. And evidence affirmed the correlation between cancer and smoking. And hundreds of thousands of people have died in the United States from cancer that was caused by smoking. So did people stop smoking once the evidence became known that cigarette smoking causes cancer? No. Sadly, many people in my parents' generation still chose to smoke, even after all the devastating evidence came to light. And today, people still smoke. Why? It's kind of a generational hand-me-down thing. It's a hand-me-down bad habit. Most people grow up with some kind of religious tradition. It might be some brand of Christianity, or Islam, or Hinduism, Buddhism, or even a non-spiritual faith like atheism. That's right. Atheism acts as a religion for the God-haters. Inherited tradition is the path most people take when it comes to choosing their faith. Their belief set is a hand-me-down, but the belief set is often never critically examined. For millions of people in our society, faith is just a tradition. It's no wonder that many church people are half-hearted, they are not committed toward their faith. They have a faith classification, but they don't really know what the belief set is of their faith classification. So was there ever someone in your family history who sat down and made a thorough examination of the religious tradition you were born into? In our preceding generations, people generally worked longer hours. In fact, they worked much longer hours than in our present society. 60, 70, 80-hour work weeks were common. People worked hard to secure a better life for their children. But they also dealt with the same type of problems that are prevalent today. Drugs, alcoholism, poverty, childhood abuse, neglect, unhealthy eating, lack of exercise. The same problems we have, the previous generations had. So most people probably gave less thought to spiritual realities than to what was needed or what would have been needed to research buying a new guitar. I believe in God. And after studying science and engineering, my belief in God grew far deeper. And I believe that God has given us all the clues, the necessary clues, the necessary information to figure out what we need to know about Him to make an informed faith decision. What do you think God's response will be to someone who says to Him, "But I was born into a strict Irish Catholic family. We weren't allowed to consider any other options." Or, "God, I'm Jewish, you know, so we could never read or even consider the teachings of Jesus. That wasn't allowed because Jesus wasn't kosher." Most everyone agrees that Jesus was one of the greatest religious teachers of his time. And I'm confident that the view Jesus had of people who followed the religious tradition in his day, I'm confident that his view is the same view that his father had. So let me read what Jesus said to some of the followers of the religious tradition in his day. Mark chapter 7, verses 5 and 8. "The Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, 'Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?' He replied, 'Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. For You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. Wow. Jesus recognized the futility of blindly following the beliefs and the traditions of earlier generations. He wanted to jolt his listeners to carefully consider what they were saying. For Jesus, it was more important to get it right than to fit in to the comfortable, familiar setting of cultural expectations. But his words weren't new, because Jesus was quoting from the prophet Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah wrote these words, or very similar words, centuries before Jesus quoted them. The prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 29, verse 13, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught." Jesus effectively told the religious people that their parents were wrong. Our parents could also have been wrong. Somebody's parents had to be wrong, because the prevailing beliefs, according to Jesus, were merely human traditions, and those human traditions caused the people to worship God in vain. And spiritually, today, we're not all that different than the people were back in the day of Jesus. Many of us are connected to a religious tradition. It's hard to admit that our tradition could be wrong. We usually bury our head in the sand, just keep following the same tradition. Or if we get pressed on a particular doctrine or spiritual issue, our natural defense mechanism goes into gear and we get indignant. How dare you question my religion? Personally, I feel freedom by admitting that wrong is a possibility. I prefer to be a student of Scripture. I prefer to be a student of truth rather than being a defender of tradition. I prefer to sincerely seek an accurate understanding regarding spiritual doctrines. I prefer to build my beliefs on ideas that are supported by the evidence in this world and the evidence of Scripture. In my case, it took me many years to become a student of Scripture. That's right. I wasn't raised in a family that followed a particular religious tradition. My parents didn't talk about spiritual matters, but they were good parents. And they raised their kids with a strong work ethic. They taught us the American dream, that we had the opportunity in this country to do whatever we might set our minds to do. But when I was 12 years old, my older sister found her way into a church that practiced an authoritarian kind of religion. The pastor was the authority. Whatever he said was the gospel truth. He was a man who tried to live out his faith with integrity, but he unwittingly passed on quite a few doctrines that I feel were not grounded in Scripture. Inheriting your faith via tradition is the passive reception of doctrine. The pastor said so, so it's true. When people learn their faith from tradition. It's really about learning a habit that gets passed from one generation to another. But with an authoritarian pastor or priest, because they're very authoritarian, faith and doctrines are learned by being in submission to the religious authority. And that can lead to a very unhealthy level of control, and nowhere in the Bible is it taught that we are to have blind obedience. And usually it's not so much the pastor or the priest that's teaching a particular off-base faith or doctrine. Rather, it's the religious system itself and all its designated prophets, doctrines, and books. But I'm really not anti-authority. I wouldn't want to live in a lawless world. It's wonderful to live in a republic like the USA, because at least we have laws that protect us and ensure a civil environment to work and raise our families. There are many authorities in our lives that make our lives better. And they include not only law enforcement, but also there are authorities like auto mechanics, building inspectors, Boeing 777 pilots. I want them to tell me what to do. But I don't just follow them blindly. I get second opinions. I get third opinions. And the same should be true in our spiritual lives as well. The practical challenge for us as it relates to choosing our faith is to muster up enough courage to consider the doctrines and teachings of the spiritual authorities in our lives. We need to scrutinize what they teach and what they do. Do they live a life commensurate to the message they preach? This is what the Apostle Paul taught. He taught us to test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good, and to stay away from every kind of evil. So I have a couple of basic characteristics to look for when you are testing a leader regarding his or her teaching and doctrine. The first characteristic is obvious, but it has a tendency to be overlooked. The first characteristic is integrity. Stay away from leaders who don't walk the talk. And there are lots of them. They're plastered all over the television. If words about love and honesty and humility aren't exhibited in the life of your pastor, then you should be looking elsewhere. Is your pastor consistent? Is his integrity lived out over the long haul? The grind of daily life truly tends to reveal a person's character. Everyone has some minor glitches that we're not too proud of. But what I'm talking about are real character flaws that prove themselves over time to be impervious to correction. Integrity is right up front. And number two, I'm just giving the top two for me. Accuracy is also important. Do your pastor's words fit in with the reality of this world? Or does he preach to a level of fantasy? Does he claim that all the dinosaur bones on display at the Smithsonian are fakes? Does he claim that science is a tool of the devil? If he does, then it's buyers beware. Is your pastor true to God's word? Do the doctrines he preaches fit in with what Scripture says? Any pastor that you sit under should be faithful to what God has inspired to be written in the Bible. Pastors should preach from God's word. And pastors should be open like a book because they have nothing to hide. A spiritual leader should be an open book so you can feel free to ask questions. If you find a persistent lack of openness, then the red flags should go up. So integrity, accuracy. And so after saying all this, I'll end this message today by going back to the starting point. What was that starting point from Zechariah chapter 8, verse 19? Love, truth, and peace. Amen. Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name.